for a second. I asked myself that question as I was preparing this lesson. And I'm sad to say, more often than not, and I've said that many times, we've asked the question, have they obeyed the gospel? Well, really, if you think about it, that's not a biblical concept. Because obeying the gospel and putting it in the context in which we say that often, as if to say, once one is baptized, they're done obeying the gospel. But we're never done obeying the gospel, if you think about it. Many times when people talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which Paul references in the book of Romans, when he talks about not being ashamed of it and expressing it because he understands the power behind what the gospel is, many times we want to sum up the gospel into a very small idea because we know it's the crux of the gospel, but it's not all of what the gospel represents. And we'll say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is what the gospel is at really the center of it, but that's not all of it. You see, we have access to what Jesus did for us because the gospel is the good news. And that's exactly what the gospel means. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It tells us about all of the things that Jesus did, and how we go about obeying the gospel is just one small aspect of that, but it's not all that we do and what encompasses what it means to obey the gospel. So, it's not very biblical for us to say or ask, have they obeyed the gospel as if they're done with it? Because we live the gospel, don't we? We share the gospel, we express the gospel, we talk about the gospel, we sing about the gospel because it's encompassing of who we are as God's children. So, really, what is the gospel then? So before we really answer what it means to obey the gospel, we need to know exactly what the gospel is. Again, people often say that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and let's look at what Paul talks about here. And some people, this is exactly where they go with the idea. And again, I'm not saying the gospel is not the death, burial, and resurrection, but that's not all that the gospel is. And again, this is often cited to prove this point. But pay attention to exactly what Paul is saying here. So let's read the first five verses of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I've declared unto you the gospel which I preached, told you about, telling you the good news, which also that you received, wherein you stand, standing in faith in what they believe and having a faith in the gospel, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached or taught you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So Paul's reminding the Corinthians about the good news that he preached to them in referencing to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it does not say that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but that these are of first importance of the gospel message of what it means to preach all of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to sum it up generally in those three words, right? Death, burial, and resurrection. But the death, burial, and resurrection are at the heart of the gospel, but it's not accurate to say the gospel is all death, burial, and resurrection because there's so many other things that encompass what the good news of Jesus Christ is. Because really, that's an oversimplification of which I and you are guilty of saying when someone has obeyed the gospel. There's a stone in Preen, Turkey that's dated back to 9 BC. 9 AD rather. And the inscription speaks of Augustus Caesar. And one of the things it says within this inscription or stone, it says that Augustus is God and Savior of the world. Of course, we know that's not true. But it says that his birthday signaled the beginning of the good news of the world. Well, we definitely know that's not true, right? But the word used for this inscription in the Greek is anglion, which is the good news, which is the same word that we find in the New Testament for the good news or for gospel that we read about. So if you really want a summary of the gospel, you really might want to consider a passage like Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 with me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And this is the good news. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So the gospel is the good news of the Son of God who came to this earth to die for our sins. So when I reference the good news and what it means because I share what Jesus did, I can be saved by the good news and what it does for me. I've got to believe in the good news, right? Romans 10:17 tells me, so that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But the gospel is the good news that God's Son came to this world, and while in this world, He made peace by the blood of the cross. Jesus brought peace through His sacrifice at Calvary. That is also the good news for us. But the gospel is that Jesus is the victorious Messiah that conquered death, that destroyed sin, and is the anointed one by which we are saved. So yes, the good news is also the death, burial, and resurrection, but really it's about what Jesus did and how He conquered sin for us at Calvary. And it's through the resurrection that brings about this idea and this concept of exactly what it is. So the death, burial, and resurrection are the core of that message, but the message is just more than those three things. So what about obeying the gospel then? What does it mean to obey the gospel? Because we so often say that, and we tell individuals that you've got to repent and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and you've got to have your sins washed away. So there's three passages that we read about in the Bible that speak of obeying the gospel. But here's the thing. All three of those passages are negative in their connotation. Because it talks about individuals and what happens if they don't obey the gospel. You think about 2 Thessalonians, right? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, according to the Gentiles, and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, referencing the Jews. So you have the Gentiles who don't know God, don't believe in God. You have the Jews who knew who God was, yet didn't obey the fact that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. So God said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we think about obeying the gospel, what does it mean that we have to do? You also look at 2 Thessalonians or Romans 10:16 and 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. So let's just consider one of those passages then in 2 Thessalonians 1. So Paul's writing to a suffering church in Thessalonica, one that's struggling, and he himself had witnessed the resistance to the gospel in that city, if you go back to Acts chapter 17 in the first 9 verses. So much so, when they were preaching the gospel, because it had stirred such a ruckus, they wanted to bind them and put them in prison, so they brought them before the city officials. They said, listen to the nonsense that these individuals are teaching and what they're preaching here. But on a second missionary journey, Paul had gone to the synagogue in Thessalonica, and he reasoned with the Jews, saying, this Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is Christ. So he's referencing the gospel. He's referencing who Jesus is. The Jesus that I'm talking about, that I'm proclaiming to you, going back to what I just said, is the anointed Messiah. Remember, they were always looking for a king. They wanted somebody to sit upon that physical throne and destroy all the military powers, and they wanted to be it. But Paul said, that's not the king that you're going to get. That's not the anointed one that's going to save you. The one that's going to save you is one that's going to save you from your sins, one that's going to give you eternity in heaven. But because of this, the Jews stirred up a mob. They drug the disciples before the city officials. And so when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, we ourselves boast about you, the churches of God, the churches of Christ, for your steadfastness and faith in all of your persecutions and the inflictions that you were enduring. So he assured them that Jesus would settle the score when he returned. That is good news. Not the fact that he isn't going to return, but that when he does return, guess what? Jesus gets to judge mankind, 2 Corinthians 5:10. So because Jesus sits upon the judgment seat, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Paul is also telling them, though you're suffering afflictions, the good news is this, is that when Christ does return, He's going to settle the score for everybody. Guess what? That's good news too. And so when he mentions those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord, specifically referencing the Jews, in fact, the word obey here is the present tense in which it's an ongoing action. So again, when we obey the gospel, it's not that we stop obeying, it's that we continue to obey the gospel as we live our lives. It's not just a one-time act that I've obeyed the gospel and I'm done. I continue to obey the gospel because I'm showing forth the action that I'm receiving the commands, I'm obeying those commands because I love who Jesus is and what He did for me in John 14 and verse 15. The Young's literal translation reads, those not obeying the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. So, that means we've got to keep on obeying the gospel. So again, we reference and say, have they obeyed the gospel? Really what we should say is, are they continuing in and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that's what it means when you see in Revelation 2 and verse 10 when it says, those that are found faithful and continue to be faithful will receive that crown of righteousness. Faithful to the point of even dying, the Bible says. So, are we willing to continue to always obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? So, obeying the gospel means accepting the fact that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, right? Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It means becoming His disciple. It means being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. It means observing that He's given us all the commands that pertain to life and godliness. Those things that we will need to continue to stay faithful to Him in the life in which we live today. And obeying the gospel is not something you ever finish doing. The moment you finish obeying the gospel is the day that you die the physical death. But we pray and we know, based upon what God has told us, that if I live faithful unto death, guess what? I receive the crown of glory, right? I receive that crown of righteousness, that for which I've strived my entire life. So my whole life, I'm obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ in everything that I do and how I'm walking as a child of God today. The gospel is not something you're either being obedient to right now, or rather it's something you're being obedient to right now, or you're not being obedient to it right now. So either I'm following the commandments of God and obeying the gospel continually, or I'm unfaithful. I've turned my back and fallen away that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. So, the question isn't only, have you obeyed the gospel? The question also is, are you living in obedience to the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ and what He did for us and how He died and how He continues to reign and how we understand that we have eternity based upon what Jesus did, but that I continue to follow the commandments that He gives me. So I obey the gospel every single day. So rather, the question we should be asking when we ask if somebody's obeyed the gospel is, are they members of the body of Christ? Do they continue to obey the gospel as we're instructed in the Bible? The gospel's the greatest thing for us today in that it's the good news that we're able to share with everybody. As we're talking about this month concerning evangelism and what it means to evangelize is to share that message with mankind. Of the great gift that was given through the Son, or was given by the Son at Calvary, that we might have eternal life. And yes, the death, burial, and resurrection is at the heart of what the gospel is, but that's not all that the gospel is. So, let me ask you this question. Have you obeyed the gospel in relation to continue to live the gospel? Are you living and obeying the gospel today? That is, are you a faithful child of God? Are you here tonight and have you never put on Christ in baptism to become a member of the body of Christ that you might obey the gospel? Because if you haven't, that's also something we want you to do tonight before it's everlasting too late. The good news is this, is that it's not too late because the Lord hasn't come back. You haven't died the physical death, so you have the opportunity tonight to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. First, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in who Jesus is, as the Son of God and putting on Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38. And if you haven't been obeying the gospel as you should be obeying the gospel, if you sidestep obedience, if you're doing something not in accordance with the Word of God, the question is why? You see, because either you're obeying it or you're not obeying it. As together we stand and as we sing.